Welcome to Animation Damnation, loyal Patreon subscribers. I'm Andrew Jupin, joined remotely by Steven Sadek, Christopher Cabin, and Eric Siska. We are here talking to you about the futuristic family animated comedy, The Jetsons. The episode in question, The Little Man, original air date, January the 13th, 1963. Wow.
Yeah, future man. Was bright back then. The
ideal, it was.
The idealism of the future.
It was.
Yeah, those silly fuckers.
Still a capitalist nightmare, though, we'll see in this episode.
Yeah. a little darker than I remember, actually. At least looking at it through modern eyes, like, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, no, it definitely sucks, man. I never really got that George Jetson's existence was just so terrible. Working for Mr. Sprocket, Mr. Spacely, that is.
I mean, the back of it all, I mean, it's an argument between Bill Gates and Bezos, essentially.
It absolutely is.
The springboard of all of this.
That is fair. I will say up top, though, I mean, I watched The Jetsons a lot as a kid. I can't tell you the last time I actually watched an episode of it, but man, this intro is so classic.
It's perfect.
And just like the getting like closer and closer, like into the universe, like kind of zoom in that we're doing here, it's just fucking great. The theme song's a great time.
It's kind of funny, though, as thinking about it, the theme song is like, meet George Jetson, and you meet all these people, but it's never like, and then they're gonna do stuff like that nope. Part never happens. It's like, you met him and that's it.
It is just a roll call theme song and that is it, dude. Yeah, it's very just like just the facts. Absolutely.
I don't remember when we said we were going to do this, but this is like, you know, it's a big get for Animation Damnation. Everyone right. knows yeah. what this show is. I didn't realize that this show, like, so it ran in the 63 to 64 for 24 or 5 episodes, and then it goes away until the mid 80s and comes back for 2 seasons.
That's crazy.
But didn't a lot of like Hanna-Barbera properties do this though? I feel like that's also true of the Flintstones.
Well, in the 80s, I think that's probably when we get the crossovers, right?
Yes, with
the
Flintstones sure.
and
oh, but, right, with the Great Gazoo and whatnot.
I'm yeah. pulling up the Flintstones, how long that ran, at least in the 60s, because it's so weird to be like, it ran from 60 to 66.
Oh, but all right. So that's much longer for the Flintstones.
And like, yeah, because I remember this being like such a 60s show. But like, I guess and most of the episodes, there's 75 episodes total. Most of them are in the 80s, which is super weird to me.
That's bizarre. Yeah, this episode is, it's a fine episode. Obviously, you will see why we selected it to discuss. But it's the bummer of it is it's very like George at work centric, and we don't have a lot of stuff with the family to do.
That's true.
Which is just a bit of a bummer. I mean, it's fine hanging out with George Jetson, but like, you know, see what Judy's doing at high school. You know, I get it. It's a 22-minute episode.
It really is more of like a space leap Sprocket versus Cogswell Cogs episode.
Right.
Yes. It shows you the blood feud these two fucking dudes are in, which is kind of how we start, which is also like, it's so funny. It makes so much sense. Like that these two are the only way to get a cog is Cogswell Cog. The only way to get a Sprocket is Spaceless Sprocket. Because yep. again, it's capitalism and they've crushed all the competition.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Like all Cogswell has to do is make that cog. That's the only fucking product because he's the only dude slinging it on the corner.
Yeah, but you would think that Space... No, okay, so Cogswell Cogs won't sell a cog to Spacely Sprocket, who needs it for this machine they're building. And it's like, you think, like, if they really needed it, you could just buy it from one of his clients, right? Like,
yeah.
Was it like a subsidiary of Cogswell Cogs?
No, but I mean, if there's somebody else is a middleman somewhere.
Go find some fucking space grease monkey and
exactly.
ask for a cog.
Like, okay, so picture this, Chris. Like, Cogswell sells me cogs because I need mm-hmm. cogs because I also have a business. And
sure.
Spacely contacts me that he'll pay me more for the cog than what I paid for it, right? So,
yeah.
End of episode.
Sure.
I think so, yeah.
I just get the feeling that if you buy any other cogs that isn't a Cogswell cog, it's like cog spelled with a K.
it's made out of chocolate.
Hey, question.
It's cog for flash.
Does anybody know the difference between a cog and a sprocket?
Not in the least.
All right.
A cog is what you see, like that clockwork-looking thing.
Yeah,
I don't know what a sprocket
like a gear.
Is. Yeah.
I don't know.
A sprocket
Isn't it a Mike Myers skit or sketch or something?
Oh, it looks. I actually just pulled it up. It looks very. It's very similar to a cog.
Oh, really?
Oh, I see.
Okay, interesting.
Did you looking up some hot cog pics, dude?
It's a sprocket or a sprocket wheel is a profile wheel with teeth or cogs that mesh chain, track, or other perforated or indented material.
Oh, this is entertainment.
Wait, okay, I'll save this. Okay, what do you guys call a robot's dick?
What's that?
It's his cog, like a hog?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
Or a cocket?
Yeah. Or a cocket. Yeah, that's
cocket. That's
true.
Good. Yeah. So
Spacely's cockets.
So everyone listening got their money's worth now.
Yeah, I love Cogswell because, like, I mean, this is the world of Hanna-Barbera. We got a lot of repeats, a lot of similar sounding voice actors, maybe the same people here and there. Cogswell is kind of just a little less Jackie Gleason of a Fred Flintstone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big time, right? Okay. I was like, am I going to be the only one that thinks this? but yeah, so...
Okay, Spacely. Yabba dabba. Oh, shit. Fucking... Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Got to start over again.
He definitely
Sorry.
Has exactly. the physique as well.
This guy is played by Dawes Butler, man. Cogswell Cog. Which
Dawes
is
Butler, that's a name that's familiar. He must have been a huge voice actor. He's got to be on other things, yes?
Yeah, I'm just looking at... But he was Barney Rubble. That's what
yeah.
he
was. Oh, nice. Okay.
Spacely.
That sounds like a Jetsons name. Dawes.
Dawes, dude. Dawes. You get the Dawes out.
D-A-W-S?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, bring out the big Dawes.
Who let the Dawes out? Blip, 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 blip.
So we start off, it's actually interesting because we start off with Spacely and Cogsworth in this fucking, they're having a fight over Zoom here. And it's like, it's weird to start an episode of the Jetsons with nary a Jetson to be found.
It takes a couple minutes for the Jetsons to show up. Yeah, they're just fighting about like, oh, I'm going to beat you in business. Oh, I'm going to beat you in business. And by the way, Cosmo Spacely, Mel Blanc, of course.
Oh, wow. That's great. What
I
a
love
total
this.
Legend.
This fucking TV phone that even it gets to the point where Cogswell breaks it with his fucking golf club because he's yep. practicing in his office. And the golf club goes through space and time into Spacely Sprockets' fucking TV phone, even though both devices are now broken.
I love it, dude. It's like the fucking TV from The Ring.
Yeah, it's true. Yes.
Oh, my God. Could someone draw the fucking scene from The Ring with the girl coming out of the TV, but it's fucking Cogswell Cogs?
Oh, man.
Mr. Cogswell,
awesome.
I guess.
They found Mr. Cogswell in the closet of his office, and his fucking jaw was detached from the rest of his skull.
He sees Samara.
Hamina, hamina, hamina.
That's his feet running away.
What is
see Jetson, gotta have you investigate this tape.
Oh no, Jetson, everything's going wrong. I'm gonna have to kill myself in a bathtub with a horse bridle.
7 days.
7 days to get that tape back, Jetson, or you're out of business. I do love that you're supposed to glean, like, I think, like, the differences in status between these two bosses. So, like, Cogswell is golfing. Mm. He's practicing his backswing kind of a thing. And then it's fucking Spacely, like, yeah, here's my fucking bowling ball.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably right. That's probably, they're trying to address, like, old money versus new money.
That'd yeah, oh, that sense. Could be. Yeah, totally.
Also, this show presupposes that whenever this takes place 100 years in the future or whatever, now probably 40 years in the future.
It's probably takes place in like 2010.
The Hitler mustache would come back with a vengeance. Look at this.
Absolutely. This is a timeline in where that Michael Jordan Haynes commercial was more influential than we realized.
There's just a newspaper headline in the Jetsons universe. It's like, Hitler exonerated.
Yeah, we in this universe, Jordan was forgiven, and then it really took off.
Yeah, I'm looking now. They don't ever say when this sort of takes place, which is the smart move, as always. You know,
there was kind of a weird line that Cogsworth has here somewhere in the episode that led me to believe that the creators of the show were thinking like at least a century out, because he has some remark about like, wouldn't you know it, after 100 years worth of innovation and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, right,
I was like,
yeah.
Okay, so are they saying like 100 years from like the point of the show creators? So we're talking like 2063 or something like that.
No, it's 100 years from the Flintstones.
I mean, it technology hasn't gone that far, because Spacely makes reference to something called a crying towel, which is something I have taken up now in quarantine. I have
one. Absolutely.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I bought a pack of 12 crying towels, actually, dude. I tie them around my face when I go outside to have the dog take a piss.
I tie them around the fucking doorknob, and then I go for a drop and stop.
My God.
Actually, don't do that. Folks.
Folks at home. I do love, yeah, he was like, oh yeah, come over and see my new innovation, Cogswell, and bring your crying towel. Don't bring your jerk off towel. Specifically, no. It's not that kind of a party. That's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the tear jerker party.
I do love though that like they have both of their monitors broken here, and when they continue the conversation, it's just two old white guys yelling at broken TVs, which is pretty much America in 2020.
Right. Yep. What I do like, too, is fucking Spacely throws this fucking bowling ball through, and then Cogswell throws it back, and Spacely tries to run and evade it and goes down his elevator and gets a concussion when this thing hits him on the head.
It's a weird line where he's like, that's how the bowling ball bounces. And I was like, what is going on in the future with bowling balls?
Well, because Cookies got outlawed, so we had to change that fucking expression.
So, ever since we banned cookies,
there are too many cookie monsters coming from outer space.
I don't know, man. With this quarantine, I might want to think about personally banning cookies, if you know what I mean.
They wind up, Cogswell comes over. Sprocket is making this conveyor belt shrinker thing, and
it's
of course,
the mini vac, Mr. Spacely.
Yeah, and George is, of course, the inventor and doing all of the work on it.
And the whole conceit of this device is they will be able to take their sprockets, package them in huge boxes, which you see these like fucking 6-foot-tall boxes. How many fucking sprockets are you fitting in these things? And then it'll go through the minivac and come out 6 inches tall, and they'll save on shipping.
That's a good point about the 6 feet. It's like a fucking coffin size.
It really is. I was like, what are we shipping here, Spacely?
Jetson, this is great. I just wanted you to make a small vacuum cleaner. This is fantastic. We're going to take over the industry.
Wow, we can change the size of matter. It's going to save so much on shipping. Like, you know, other applications we could use here,
First
guys.
Off, a
no,
simple,
no, shipping only.
A simple one would be to be making super small sprockets so you don't have to spend as much, and then making them big.
Right. Oh, that's a good call, dude. Yeah, reverse engineering your fucking big-ass 6-foot sprockets you need. There is a great, I think it's George, is like, yeah, Mr. Spacely, it's great. It goes in big and comes out small. And I was like, yeah, like when you're swimming.
That's actually
a good point.
Can you increase
this
dick size?
Probably not in this universe, but I figure because of the time period, I was almost waiting for a Spacely to be like, boy, does this thing work on my wife or what?
Yeah.
Oh, like a fat joke?
Yeah, I was kind of waiting for something like this to be pulling in here.
Oh, I feel like, you know what, dude? It's 1963. That's a straight-up mother-in-law joke, but I think then you'd be infringing on Flintstones territory.
Mm.
I don't know that George Jetson had a famous mother-in-law. I don't know if we did that on this show.
I bet he does.
Yeah.
But so would the idea then be to put the mother-in-law or the fat wife into this device and then only shrink her slightly? Is that the idea?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't know the whole machine quite yet. He's just like, oh, it makes things smaller.
Well, that's because he's the fucking idiot boss, and it's like, oh, what is this product you're hawking with my name on it? Yes, I did invent it.
It'd be cool if he like shrunk his mother-in-law to 6 inches and then fed her to the rats.
Well, so that's what happens. He gets shrunk down, him and the box get shrunk down to 6 inches. And the problem is they don't know. I mean, one of the problems, classic Hanna-Barbera fashion, the models aren't exactly perfect. So if George is 6 inches here, then Mr. Spacely is 1 foot tall. You know what I mean? Like he's like half the size of of a very short man, I guess.
He's a short guy. Spacely is very tiny.
Cogswell has some line because he's like, hey, Spacely says like, hey, Cogswell, come over and see this great new invention. and like look at it in my laboratory and definitely don't steal the idea from me or anything.
It's so
way
stupid,
basically.
Because it's not only it's like come see how I'm gonna put you out of business. Why don't you just put him out of business?
Yeah, exactly. But it's kind of ridiculous because when Cogswell gets over there, he's like, oh yeah, Spacely, is this like last week's invention, the solar powered nuclear stamp licker? And I was like, that's a waste of resources because I don't know why you need a solar and nuclear powered tongue. What are we doing? We're getting like a little sponge.
I could think of a few applications.
I mean, yeah, a rim jobber isn't going to sell that well, Eric. Or maybe 100 years in the future, we've given up all this baggage about rim jobs.
Oh,
finally.
Spacely, you think you could put me out of business with a rim jobber? You don't know that I made all my old money. My great-great-grandfather invented the flashlight.
Introducing Cogswell's next great invention, the Rim Joe.
Rim Joe from Cogswell Products.
I think you'd have to have a number on that. It'd be like the Rim Joe 5000.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Some guy's like, oh no, I'm out of business.
Looks down at his tongue. Well, Lucy, the time is up now.
Someone listening to this episode was like, oh no, I'm out of business. so he gets shrunk down, and it's all fun and games until your boss makes you solve this horrific problem that's happened to you on your own. He's like, you know what, Jetson, here's what you got to do. Because George is like, I think I found the problem. It's a bad fucking Cogswell cog. Wouldn't you know it? And he's like, all right, Jetson, here's what you're going to do. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning, you're going to sneak over there. You're going to break into his facility and you're going to fucking steal his property.
Maybe it's because I'm watching so much Americans. It's just like, this seems too intense to give you. He's going to put on a wig? I mean, look, what's going to happen here?
Well, that's his dumb thing. He's like, you're only 6 inches tall, so no one's going to see you anyway. And I was like, dude, if I saw a fucking 6-inch tall person walking around, like, you would see it. You would see a 6-inch person. Yeah. He's not like, it's not Honey, I Shrunk the Kids microscopic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he is spotted immediately, by the way, which is hilarious.
Well, Andrew, now that like proposes an interesting question. Now, what would you do if you found a 6-inch human in your home? What would you do?
If I didn't know the person, I'm stepping on that person.
Oh, wow. Murder.
Or maybe... Maybe I'd put like a big like mixing bowl over them, you know,
a glass mixing bowl. And then you would like
get to the bottom of this.
Slowly torture them over weeks.
Or just see about a rim job.
I would ask them to leave. Maybe I'm crazy. I'd be like, no. Excuse me, tiny man.
I'm sorry.
I take a picture and now can you leave?
Steve, do the human thing. You freeze them in an ice tray.
Yes, maybe that. There's no way you're getting out of my house, by the way.
Absolutely not.
6-inch person, you show up in my... No, I don't know what I'm going to do to you, but something's happening.
There's actually a great thing that I forgot about, but the reason why they can't just buy a cog, not only will Cogswell not sell them to Spacely Sprockets, but as Mr. Spacely himself mentions... Cogswell has put what he calls a trade ban on Spacely Sprockets. Jesus, dude, we're getting into some Phantom Menace shit here.
Yeah.
So George goes home, obviously, and there she is in all her glory. It's a fucking giant chain. Because make no mistake, a pervert wrote this episode. An absolute total nightmare pervert.
I mean, listen, right now, people who write cartoons, absolute degenerate perverts, the worst you ever met. Could you imagine what they were like in the 60s when everything was legal?
Oh, yeah, dude, I can't even imagine. It had to be a fucking madhouse at the Hanna-Barbera offices.
Say, Jane, why don't you put me in your mouth so I can roll around for a while?
Oh, God.
Like, he gets home, and Jane somehow does not notice, even though she has to bend over and, like, fucking touch her toes to give her husband a welcome home kiss.
Whoa.
You get George Jetson, he's like, that's what I call a big kiss.
Yeah.
Whoa, that, Jane, by the way, Jane, for once, I'm asking you not to swallow.
Come on. I love, by the way, that, because I was like, all right, let me look at this. I Googled Jetsons, and in parentheses, little man. I went to page, and it's a lot of like Wikipedia, Jetson, yada, yada, yada. Page 5 is a deviant art gif of Jane bending down and kissing George.
Of course.
With the lipstick all over his head.
Yep, of course.
Did you skip over slashfiction.org?
I did. I didn't find it. I mean, I think if I went lower and lower, I would have got there, but I didn't have much time.
I think it's, is it one of the kids? Someone is like, "You look like an insect."
Yes.
Which is hilarious. And even fucking Astro's calling him Shorty.
Jane, call me a bug. Jane, call me a bug.
Hello, Shorty.
Could you put me between your toes, Jane?
Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Two Jane. Fetishes at the same time.
With the same gun.
He's jamming off down there.
It would be great because he's running like under Astro right here, whatever. It'd be fucking great if his dog just pissed on him.
Oh, definitely. Awesome.
Dog gets all like territorial. He's just gotta lift his leg, piss on old George.
If I saw a little person, I'd be, you know, you'd piss on them, obviously.
100%.
He's barking, he's scared of him at first, then he smells and realizes, I think this dog would fucking grab and shake this fucking thing until it was dead.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep, there's no doubt about it.
And also,
then
I guess
fucking eat it.
In the 100 years that pass, subsequently, dogs evolved to talk a little bit.
Well, yeah, like Astro could lecture at Brown. He could, like, he's got a good vocabulary going.
Think Astro was like a Soviet dog, you know, shipped into space and then like came back.
Oh, he came back and something wasn't quite right, dude.
Yeah, like how in Planet of the Apes, he comes back as an astronaut and the world has changed. It's the same thing, but it's a dog and it's just going to Jetsons land.
No! No animals, not me. Blow it up!
There's a fucking ridiculous line because like Elroy is not really having it that his dad is like this tiny creature now. And he basically has this line where he's like, "Dad, well, you're so small. How can I possibly look up to your sorry ass now?"
I know. You know what, dude? How about who's paying the fucking rent around here?
Yeah, excuse me, family. Like, yes, I know this is weird, but may I say this was a work accident? I might be getting workman's comp for this. Who knows?
No, that was outlawed, man. All those things. Yep. This is 100 years in the future, Andrew. We got rid of those things, and now corporations take care of us.
I mean, so much so that, like, I almost said Fred Flintstone. George Jetson is so concerned about how he is going to support his family, even though there's a crisis happening. That he's like, well, I don't know, Jane, or maybe I get a job threading needles. I don't know. Will that pay the bills? I need my health insurance, Jane.
I saw this trick from this movie, Talk to Her, and I think I could do it, and that could really make some money.
Speaking about threading needles, once he invades Cogswell's factory, and these guards just don't do anything, by the way, because one of them has a retirement physical coming up.
Exactly, because he's... No, I mean, well, A, these people are allowed to retire, which I appreciate. B, like, yeah, it's not like, oh, my 401k's going to take a hit.
But what is with a retirement physical, though? Is it like, just make sure on your way out there's no pre-existing conditions we'll have to pay for the rest of your life? Like... What is that?
It seems like a weird thing. Like what? I have no idea what that could even be. I guess
he's concerned that like if he's found to be like crazy or something, that he might lose his pension.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's a weird thing to be concerned about. I don't know.
I do love that. Yes, Cogswell Cogs. He goes there. Cogswell Cogs is staffed with a fucking death squad.
Dude, these guys with like the helmets and shit, it looks like something out of Spaceballs, these two characters.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, they're just like, all right, now you didn't see nothing and I didn't see nothing. We're just going to let that little monster get into the factory there.
But when Cogswell himself captures George is able to free himself with the use of a needle, which looks like a fucking broadsword in his hand.
It's kind of a badass maneuver, man, because Cogsworth, like, he gets him like under a glass or something, right?
Yeah,
well, I guess the weird thing is though, like, he won't give him, like, this man has been deformed. And he's like, "Ah, I'm coming to you, appealing to your humanity, Mr. Cogswell." He's like, "No, my corporate beef will not be deterred."
By the way, did we skip over the moment where Astro sits down and George goes all the way up his asshole?
Yes, we did. It's really important that we go. It's
very important.
He does sit. He sits on him, and it goes. He does go all the way in there. I thought he smelt bad on the outside.
Jane, get me out of this crazy thing.
Jane, it's like the time he ate that string. You gotta get the paper towel, Jane.
Boy,
it's gonna take forever.
This cartoon is dog shit.
There you go. he sneaks in. There is a great thing where, like, before Cogsworth gets him under the glass, he's like, "Got you now, Jetson." And fucking George Jetson kicks this dude in the shins. And I was thinking, is this like Ant-Man? Like, George Jetson retains, like, the actual strength of himself at full size, but he's just tiny?
I guess so, because, yeah, I mean, how could that even hurt?
Yeah, right? This little 6-inch thing kicks your shin. You're in huge pain.
It's like the Chucky logic, right? Like, sometimes Chucky can just throw you across the room, and sometimes he's a rag doll.
Geez, Mr. Spacely, are you in here? Sure is dark in this warehouse. That's the crossover we needed, dude. We didn't even know it.
Dormammu, you.
Dormammu, point me to the mini-vac.
He grabs the cog, which is great. He's running around with it. He escapes the factory. But then Cogswell's got a plan. He's like, "I'm going to go break. Now I'm going to do some corporate espionage." And we are getting super Americans. He's got a fake mustache and a beard and a funny accent.
He's doing this like, "Oh, yes, I've come from the chocolate factory," of voice.
He's a Viennese repairman. What are you repairing? A strudel?
Oh, he's just a Viennese repairman. That's what he
says. He says he's from Vienna, which is an odd reference, especially for the super future.
James. Well, I'll say, you know, here's the thing about it, dude. I wonder, I mean, this is 1963. WW2 wasn't that far in the past there. Maybe it's like we can't make him German.
yeah.
Gee, Mr. Cogswell, why don't you just use an American accent?
That's a great question.
He goes in there. George gets the cog. He fixes the machine. He becomes big again. My erection goes away, sadly.
Isn't it ironic that when he gets big, it gets small?
Oh, something went terribly wrong.
Cogswell is like found out immediately. Spacely's not having it. And they get into like a posturing sort of thing here where they're about to, I guess, get into a old-timey boxing match. They both like have their dukes up ready to fight. And George is like, "Oh boy, better stay out of this and let the bosses do their thing. This is what they make the big bucks for." And he like lands, like he leans on the little control panel. And both Spacely and Cogsworth go through the machine. They're tiny. They don't even know it. They might also be dangling and they don't even know it.
Now, this is for sure when you just step on them.
Yeah, for sure.
If these two come out here, George, you got a nut up here and just step on them.
George,
that's a great point.
Ushers in the revolution by killing these two people.
Absolutely.
You're exactly right, dude, because listen, in this room right now, it is just George Jetson and two tiny little things. And then the machine broke, and it's going to take like a week to get it fixed anyway, George says. Hey, man, you fucking squash those dudes like grapes, flush it, you know, airlock it, whatever you got to do with these fuckers. Oh, I don't know. The two bosses, you know, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, dude. Gee, you know, if only they could be here to revolutionize education. But I guess in the meantime, we, the workers, are going to have to fucking take shit back.
I'm not even saying it has to be altruistic. This starts the Jetson dynasty because, you know, Elroy is going to grow up to be a fucking idiot. So you have to find a job for him immediately.
Emperor Elroy.
Oh, my daughter Jane is going to run the business. She's the smart one.
My hot daughter, Jane. Or
Jane,
Judy, actually.
Jane and her husband, Jared. They're going to be taking things over.
And Judy Jetson.
Yeah, my two favorite sons, Astro and Elroy.
I do think I love about the Jetsons is like the idea, like Judy was a kind of a revolutionary character because it was like a teenager. What?
Yeah.
So she's not a child and she's not an adult. What? Like, you know, that yeah. idea is like
a teenager
new.
With gray hair.
Yeah. yeah. Very like 80s of her, which is pretty cool, which is why that Jetsons movie actually makes a lot more sense.
Speaking of Jetsons movies, I was looking up the Jetsons. Do you want to know in the year 2017, 3 years before it all ended?
Right.
there was a movie released called The Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania.
No.
What?
It stars the poster is the Jetsons in their car with Rosie and everybody, and the Big Show is holding them, and then there's all
what?
These there's all these wrestlers
what?
In these cars. Something, something.
Say that name again. I'm typing into the torrent site.
Oh, here, the Jetsons and WWE : Robo WrestleMania.
We got to do this. Is this okay. what we're doing next month now?
Dude, how the fuck did they get 81 minutes out of this?
It's a great question. There's Mr. McMahon plays himself and Mr. McMoon.
Oh, Mr. Man. McMoon.
Okay, maybe we do a whole animation month. It's that Rover Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah.
What else? There's other dog shit out there.
The Elvis Rooster movie. Rock-a-doodle-doo. Right.
Oh, Rock-a-doodle.
And
yeah,
we'll finally
dude.
Do the DuckTales movie.
I like this idea. It's not a bad idea, you guys. Yeah. Comment below if you want to hear it.
Yeah, totally. Well, actually, though, I got to say, maybe the Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania... is a bonus that month because the Jetsons movie, man, soundtrack by Tiffany.
Yeah, whoa. That's a good.
Also, did you catch this, Steve? I pulled it up. Do you see who's voicing Rosie the Robot these days?
No.
The Simpsons' own Tress McNeil.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, here's Vince McMahon, that fucking scum-sucking piece of shit.
Also,
look at that.
This episode is not as good because it doesn't have Rosie in it. What are we doing?
Hey, what the fuck?
That's crazy. You're totally right, dude. Also, another revelation, shocking to no one, voicing Astro, you got Welkered.
Yeah.
In this WrestleMania thing, not the television show we're talking about.
But still exciting.
He'd be 200 years old if you voiced him in this cartoon.
I believe it. I think Welker happened. And then the earth formed, and eventually he drifted down into it.
He's just like pulling himself out of the ground, like the vampires and vampires. It's like, yes. I have arrived.
God made the sun, and it was good. And then God made Welker, and it was good.
Wait a second. I'm looking at the trivia for this Robo Wrestling thing. Fucking peep this shit. Mr. McMahon mentioning meeting another talking dog upon meeting Astro is him referring to Scooby-Doo after meeting Scooby-Doo and Mystery Incorporated in both Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery from 2014 and Scooby-Doo and WWE : Curse of the Speed Demon.
What are you doing putting these idiots behind voice acting roles? Like, I can't imagine how bad the Big Show sounds. I cannot imagine it.
This is fucking crazy. I'm having my mind blown right on the air here.
I do love, Rosie has to have a pleasure bot setting, right? For sure.
They're fucking Rosie.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, oh no, I have to watch them fuck again.
Yeah, let me just open this compartment here, Mr. J.
Rosie,
Jane
help
went
her.
To. Jane went to bed early. Speaking of nobody's looking, Rosie.
Hey,
Rosie, go into private browsing mode, will you?
Incognito.
She puts on a little mask.
Rosie, don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie, I got a new component for your system. It's called a fleshlight. Let's see how this goes right here up there.
Rosie, we're not done yet. And he pulls out like soldering irons to like fuck up her circuits.
Oh my God.
Joffrey Baratheon, dude.
Exactly.
So, yeah, they are stuck as tiny people for a week while George gets this new part. Spacely's, mm-hmm. I think it's Spacely says, oh yeah, we're going to be a fat lip man now as they're about to like get fighting with each other.
I love, they like call our wives. We're going to play pinochle for money here. I actually thought it was going to end. Yes, for a week. Actually, my wife always wanted me to be shorty. I'll be back a little while.
They start abusing each other with these cards too, by like breaking it over each other's heads.
Just destroying these playing cards, dude. I was like, whose deck is this?
I also think this goes to your Ant-Man theory, Andrew. How the fuck were they able to do that?
That's actually true, Steve. These, like, you know, playing cards are like sort of pseudo laminated kind of
life size. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an actual card and you're just easily breaking it over this dude. Like it's a fucking, you know, little cracker or something. You're right. I think there is something to this whole Ant-Man thing, but we got to get to the best part of this episode is when George comes back home.
Yeah.
Full size again,
yes.
And he gets a greeting from Judy. Eric Siska, do you want to take it from here?
I'm so glad my big daddy's back.
Oh, man.
Call fucking whatever space CPS you need to call, but call him and call him quick.
My big daddy.
It's the SSVU, dude, the Space Sexual Victims Unit. And then, like, I think, you know, 87% of Jetson's episodes, it ends with Astro just giving George a bunch of kisses on the face.
And
know,
he's laugh, like, oh, this dog.
This dog, the last time I saw this dog was from the inside out. Good to see you, boy.
Never going to be able to use those pants again.
And then that's the end of the episode. Was anybody embarrassed watching the Jetsons?
No, I mean, I find this quaint. I mean, it is sort of like they're obviously like the futurism is the 60s futurism. Women are still, you know, we're housewives. All Jane could do is wait for George to go home and make food, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, it's cute. I did this because I didn't like the 80s animation. I like the 60s animation and the voice cast, et cetera.
Yeah,
it's superior.
I think that's the move. Yeah,
yeah, just it's just a little bit of fun.
Totally. Chris Cabin.
Oh yeah, I was not embarrassed. I watched a bunch of the Jetsons when I was younger, and I remember being so excited to see the Jetsons movie when it came out. I forced my uncle to take me. This was nice. It was a nice nostalgia trip for me.
Did you see that Jetsons movie in the theater, Cabin?
Yes, I did.
Wow, good for you.
Wow.
Jetson head. I had no idea.
Eric Siska?
No, I wasn't embarrassed. I also watched it a bunch as a kid. I actually didn't know about the 80s stuff, but I'm sure that's probably what I mostly devoured. As much as I wanted to devour this little man, this little George Jetson. You know, it's fine. This is probably a weird episode to just drop into, but, you know, I had a good enough time watching this. I'm probably not going to go and rent the other episodes on Amazon, and I'm probably just going to leave it be, but it was a nice little trip down memory lane.
Well, the problem, dude, is you have to buy it on Amazon. So now we only have the episode where George shrinks, which Amazon has us on a list.
Yeah, you know what, dude? That $2.07 is all right with me. I'll just say real quick, I was not embarrassed watching it. Brought back a lot of nice flashbacks. But I think you're right, Eric, about the 80s stuff. I think it's similarly with like the Gumby stuff that we were exposed to as kids. You know, any of these like things they brought back from previous decades. We were just getting the new shit. So it was cool to see the 60s animation. I love the fact that the Amazon transfer, it's like a bad print, you know, it was like dirty, like you'd see dirt on the screen from whatever fucking Hanna-Barbera archive they scanned this from. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, no, totally not embarrassed. I was happy to watch the Jetsons, and it was cool to get a nice, like Steve said at the start of this, a big like heavy hitter title on the show.
Totally. And also, by the way, we have nothing planned for June. So sound off in the Patreon comments for what you might want to see. And we'll see if we'll just kind of pick one out of a hat, maybe.
Ooh, there you go. I like that. Sounds good to me, everybody. So thank you for continuing to be the loyal Patreon subscriber that you are. And until next month on Animation Damnation, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siska.
Chris Cabin.
Take it easy.